Hey, my name is Ben. You already saw me down here for earlier, but if I didn't get to meet you yet, if you're new here, I want to make sure that I get to say hi to you before you leave. We are so glad that you're here with us today. It's a great day. I know the weather would testify otherwise, but we are so glad that you're here. We're in our second week of a love series, Love Is, and we're going to talk more about that here in just a moment. But I want to take a moment to do a little housekeeping because I'll forget later. But we have found a set of keys, and as best I could read, they are, I got to get this right. Keys found at the kid check table, which is down there. It has a big brown fuzzy thing and crunch card attached. So that's somebody who goes to the gym. So we're proud of you, a little jealous. The parking lot team has your keys. They're actively out in the parking lot right now trying to figure out what car it goes to so that they can get in a few donuts before service is over. But in all seriousness, you can pick up your keys at the Next Steps table. I think that's where they'll be. If they're not, somebody there will tell you where they are. Or just look for your car out in the parking lot and see if it's going around in circles. We're so glad that you're here. As I mentioned, we are launching into our second week of a series that we've entitled Love Is. And, you know, there's a lot of questions as to what love really is. There's country songs galore written about it, even country songs recently written about what love ain't. And so there's all kinds of takes on what love is. And so we don't presume to have a corner on the market to know, but we have discovered, at least I have, that there's three qualities to God's love for us, especially as we see in Jesus. There's many more, but we're only going to do this for 3 weeks, and so I tried to boil it down as much as I could. And so we landed on the idea that God's love is selfless, God's love is sacrificial, and God's love is unconditional. And so I recognize that just this past weekend was a fancy holiday, Valentine's Day. Some people, it's a fun time. For other people, it's just like that. You know, I get it. Like, everybody has different ideas, and I want to make sure you know, like, this series is not just, hey, you know, we think everybody ought to be married and ought to be happily married. Like, we have a high value on marriage, but we recognize that for many people, like, that's been a tough road. And so what we want to do is to elevate the love of God for his people, and then we want to line our lives up with loving like that. And so if that helps you become a better husband or a better wife, then so be it. If it helps you become a better coworker, good job. If it helps you become a better dad or a mom, well, that's awesome. Ultimately, we want you to live and love like Jesus. And so that's what we're going to hold as our high standard. And so today we look at love as being sacrificial. And ultimately, like, we could say it in this way, that if you're going to truly and honestly love someone, if you're going to love someone like Jesus, it's going to cost you something. In fact, sacrifice by nature means that you're going to give something up. Something's got to die, right? I heard somebody, Emily and I listened to a radio show, a Kentucky sports radio show, and the guy on there used to be an attorney, and he says, a rule is not a rule without a consequence. And I would say a sacrifice is not a sacrifice if it doesn't cost you something. And you could probably even make the leap to say you can't really love somebody unless you're willing to give something up for them. And if we look at the love that Jesus has for humanity, we certainly cannot deny the fact that it cost him something. In fact, we would even say that God's love for humanity cost him his son, and it cost his son his own life. And so true love, if we're going to love in the way of Jesus, we are going to have to give something up. And so what does it look like to love sacrificially? I'm really glad that you asked, because I thought we wouldn't be able to make it there if you didn't. And so we did. And so what I want to do is we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 last week. We talked a lot about Paul, the apostle, whose life was completely changed and transformed by the love of God, and he wrote a passage of scripture that was completely intended for weddings, right? I'm just kidding. But we learned that love, how it's patient and kind, and it's not rude, it's not boastful or proud, and I'm totally not quoting it verbatim, but you've read the passage before, and love has all these characteristics and these qualities. But if you really begin to narrow it down, one of the highest characteristics of love is that it's self-giving, that it is sacrificial. And so we want to look at what does it mean for us, if we're going to love like Jesus, to give ourselves up and to give ourselves away and to sacrifice something. What might that look like? Well, we're going to look at an epistle or a letter that was written by John the Apostle. Now, this is a person who would have had a firsthand account. He was an eyewitness of Jesus, and so he heard the things directly that Jesus said. And he recounted them, and in fact, these letters that he sent out, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, we learn in there about many of the characteristics of Jesus. We learn about some of the things that he taught, but especially in this first letter, in 1 John, we learn that John drives home this idea of love and how important it is that we love one another. And he recounts even going back to when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus responds with, well, you're going to love God with everything you've got. You're going to love your neighbor just the same. And so love is elevated. And so we pick up in 1 John chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 11. And here's what we read. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. If not, the words will be on the screen as we walk through this. But this is John recounting his time with Jesus. He says, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. In other words, this isn't something I've fashioned. This isn't something that I dreamed up. This isn't a great idea. This is just what we've heard from the get-go. This is what Jesus said from day one. And he gives us the word. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, going all the way back to the Old Testament, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Well, that's because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. So automatically, John recounts all the way back to the Old Testament and tells us that we are called to love one another. It's what has been said from the beginning. And there's going to be people that love, and there's going to be people that, well, they don't. And don't be surprised that the people whose hearts are not filled with love, don't be surprised if they come at you. Don't be surprised if you're persecuted. Don't be surprised if they want to murder you. Now, this is a strange way to start the conversation, but I think John would have us to realize that there's this deep and divided contrast of what it means to love and what it means not to love. And then he begins to paint the picture for us. And I would even say that we can read there that love will cost us something. Sometimes it might even cost us our life, but it also might cost us our reputation. It's going to cost you something. He goes on to say, and if we love our brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. And he goes on to say in verse 16, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our own lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or a sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we'll be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friend, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we'll receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and we do the things that please him. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commands remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. It's a mouthful. It's a lot to say, but John paints this picture of what real love is. And so I want to kind of break this down a little bit for us as we think about some practical ways in which we can love sacrificially. I would, if I had to boil all of this down, I would say that John ultimately is saying, hey, if you're going to love somebody, it's going to cost you something. You can't just love somebody passively. It's going to cost you something, especially if we're going to mirror our life after Jesus. I mean, you remember some of the things Jesus said, right? If you want to follow me, you must take up your cross and follow me. If you want to save your life, probably going to lose it. But in fact, if you're willing to give up your life, you will actually find it along the way. I mean, you think about the life of Jesus. There's nothing about the love of God in Christ that doesn't cost something. Jesus gave up everything. First of all, he gives up his divine power and privileges to come and simply live among us all the way to the very bitter end where he gives up his last breath as an act of salvation to me and you. Because he gives up his life. He lives his life. He gives his death up so that we might not die, but we might live for all eternity. And so we're called to live sacrificially. And so John says, if we love one another, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. In other words, what John is saying here in verse 14 is that your love for one another is a testimony to your salvation. That the way in which you love one another. Now, this particular translation has highlighted as saying Christian brothers and sisters. I think it goes even beyond that. And even if we could just figure out how to love each other within the circle, I think that'd be a major accomplishment. But we haven't even figured that part out. But when it comes to other relationships, whether it is a spousal relationship, whether it is a father to son or son to daughter, or I'm sorry, mother to daughter or father to daughter, however you want to mix it up, every relationship should require or does require and should be accompanied by some sort of sacrifice. If we're going to really love somebody, it's going to cost us something. But John would say it begins with our love of God. It begins with our salvation. That if we're finding it difficult to love, I think John would say, you might need to check your relationship with Jesus. I'll never be able to love my spouse or love my kids until I recognize fully the love that God has for me and I've learned how to reciprocate that to him. It's completely intertwined, and true love is a sacrificial love. John goes on to say, in in 15, anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart, and you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Ultimately, what John is doing here is equating hate with death. And I gotta be honest with you, there's some people along the way in my own journey that I have not learned to love. In fact, there are some people I have not yet learned not to hate. And I'm confessing my own sin. And I tell you that if you'd asked me a week ago, who do you hate? I would say absolutely no one. I love everybody. It's funny because as I was wrestling with this message, like God convicted my heart of someone who's not even alive anymore. But I realized that deep within me there was a hatred at one time that I've not yet given up. And so I'm working on that. God's working on that within me. But the reality is it's like the two cannot exist. Love and hate can't coexist. And the reality is that love leads to life, hate leads to death. And so if you have hatred in your heart, then perhaps we need to do the work of inviting God in to remove that. And the only way we get past that is by allowing God to take that hate out of us. And we have to actually give that up. We have to sacrifice whatever that person has done to us or taken away from us or blamed on us, whatever. You fill in the blank. Oftentimes, it requires the sacrifice. True sacrificial love oftentimes is found simply in forgiveness. True and honest sacrificial love is oftentimes found in the generosity of forgiving someone of what they've done to you. John goes on in verse 16 to say, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. This is very simple, right? We have seen the image of real love. Like, we know what all the fat trimmed off, like all of the trappings taken away. We know what real love looks like because we have seen it in Christ. Not just by the way that he treated him or he treated her, not just by the way that he, but by the fact that he gave himself up for us. We know what real love is. In fact, it was Jesus who's credited by John with in chapter 15 of the gospel, chapter 15, verse 13, John says, we know what real love is. In fact, if we can get that on the screen, John 15, 13. I don't have it marked in my Bible, so I'm going to grab it off the... Essentially, John says, there's no greater love. No one has greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus tells us that when he was here on earth. And so when John reminds us in this epistle that we know what real love is, it's because Jesus lived this out. Jesus said these words, obviously, before he gave himself up for us. But later he fulfilled them by going to the cross. True love is marked by sacrifice, a giving up of one's self. Unprompted in our prayer time down here as we're preparing for service, Edwin Chambers shared with us that very passage. And he was reminding us of someone that he was fighting in a war with who gave themselves up to cover a hand grenade to save many lives. And he prayed that you and I would never have to be faced with that kind of opportunity. But you and I have opportunities on the daily basis to give ourselves up for the sake of someone else. I think for many of us, trying to figure out what that looks like is difficult, because we'd say, "Yeah, man, if I would die for you, I would lay myself down for you." But when it comes to simple opportunities, we sort of miss the boat. I saw a I guess it's called a meme floating around on social media, and it said, "You know, I would a sister is someone you would give a kidney to, but you won't let borrow your cell phone charger, right?" It's something like that. You know, I would die for you, but I'm not willing to loan out my stuff to you, but there's a little bit of truth in that. Like, sometimes we miss the simple opportunities to show sacrificial love because we're probably not going to have to give ourselves up in that sort of sacrificial way. But there's ways on a daily basis where you and I can give ourselves up for the sake of someone else. If we're going to truly love someone, it's going to cost us something. In verse 17, we read that if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need and shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? You want to talk about sacrificial love? Sacrificial love is marked by compassion and generosity. Let me say that again. Sacrificial love is marked by compassion and generosity. If you want to know what this looks like on a nuts and bolts kind of basis, it can be simplified right there in that one verse, that if we see a brother or a sister who is in need, are we willing to reach out to them? Are we willing to give up something so that they might have the things that they need? Are we willing to be generous? Are we willing to show compassion? Many of us on a regular basis choose to do this. Many of us on a regular basis choose not to do this. There's always an opportunity before us to be generous, to be compassionate. And we do so by giving up something. And I think what's important to understand about true and honest compassion that changes the world is it's never convenient. I think if our generosity and our compassion is simply marked by convenience, we're missing the sacrificial part of it. This should cost us something. And if it's not costing us anything, are we really doing any good? Are we really showing compassion? Are we really being generous if it doesn't take something away in order to give that to them? Emily mentioned we're headed toward our Ash Wednesday service, which will be a week and a half from today, roughly, I believe. Ash Wednesday marks the journey to Lent. Ash Wednesday marks a 40-day march toward Easter. Greatest celebration in all the church. Jesus is alive. Lent is this time of preparation and introspection where we take steps toward getting rid of the things in life that would hold us back, but also picking up and taking on the things that would help us become more like Jesus. When it comes to loving sacrificially, essentially that's the call of Lent, is to love someone, to give something up so that we might move forward, that we might help someone else take their next step, or that we might take our own next step. Loving sacrificially doesn't always look like giving up your life. It can, but it also can mean giving up the things that we consider convenient or luxuries. Love requires compassion and generosity. In verse 18, John goes on to say, "Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our action. Our action will show that we belong to the truth, so that we'll be confident when we stand before God." The reality is this: our actions tell the truth about who we are. That you can say that you love someone, and I mean, you know, especially if you're in a marital relationship, you can testify to this. You can say I love you and you can say I'm sorry, but if you never do anything that would testify to those words, it's just empty words and they fall on kind of nothing. And yet by God's grace, we're invited to love sacrificially. So John says, if we say that we love somebody and we don't really, we're kind of missing the boat here. And so when it comes to loving sacrificially, it means that we have to take an honest look in the mirror and realize who we are, but also who God is calling us to be. And in so doing, we've got to live a life that is filled with integrity. One of the things that we've added to our membership vows and our covenant within the last several years here in the United Methodist Church is that, you know, it used to be, will you support the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? And at some point, we tagged on to the end of that, your witness. We invite you to live a life of character filled with integrity, that who you say you are on Sunday morning is who you wind up being. Because when we walk through life and we say, I'm a Christian, we put the bumper sticker on the car and we carry the mug around, like we are saying, I belong to Christ. But if our lives do not reflect that, if it doesn't cost us anything, if we can continue being the same, fill in the blank, then are we really marked by God's love? And Paul, John says plainly, let's not just say that we love each other. Let's figure out a way to do it. And I think that's the call of the church and who we're called to be, not just husband and wife, but as we're called to be co-workers, as we're called to be moms and dads, as we're called to be neighbors, as we're called to be church members, we are called not to just say that we love other people, not to just say, God, I love you. And we stand here on Sunday morning, we stand up and we sing these awesome songs, Jesus, you're my one and all, and I'm going to give you everything, and I surrender everything. But then when we go back into reality, it's kind of like, almost to Jesus I surrender. You know, it's like we don't want to do it fully and wholeheartedly. And so this love that we're called to love and to live is one of sacrifice, one where we must give up. Let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions, for our actions will show that we belong to the truth. And so we can confidently stand before God. Sacrificial love is incredibly difficult. In fact, let's just go ahead and say what it is. It's not natural. There's nothing within me, there's nothing within me that naturally desires to do for someone else before I do for myself? Let's be honest. Our natural tendency is to be inwardly focused. Our natural tendency is to put in what we think we're going to get back plus a little more. Sacrificial love requires giving up oneself for the sake of someone else, and it will cost you something. But we can't forget what Jesus said. If you want to go with me, you're going to have to give up your life, but through the process, you're going to find it. And I can promise you this, you will not give up what God won't put back. And I don't want to sound like, you know, some kind of prosperity gospel. If you'll just sow a seed of faith with us, God's going to bless you 100-fold. What I'm saying is, God would never call you to give up something that somehow later down the road he's not going to bless you 10-fold in. God's never going to ask you to give up something, to live sacrificially, that he's not somehow going to take care of you. And he may not put it back. Some of that stuff you give up, you don't want him to put it back. But he's going to care for us along the way. And if he can do that for birds in the air and the flowers in the field, he can do that for us. Promise you. Promise you he can do that for us. So practically, what does this look like? I mean, we've kind of hit on some of these things, but I'm reminded that sometimes it's not necessarily the size or the value of what you're giving up. I'm reminded back to the conversation Jesus is having with his disciples. They're sitting in the temple, and a widow lady comes by, and she drops just a couple of pennies, into the mite is what it was called, into the coffers. And Jesus just stops everything. He's like, hold on, time out. Time out right here. That lady right there who just dropped the two pennies in the coffer, she gave more than anybody that's come through here. Now I have to imagine Jesus is sitting there, and they've heard some really rich people who have a handful of coin. They took their dollars and got change for it just so when they tossed it in the plate, it would make a lot of noise, right? And then they kind of puff their chest out and walk on like, look what I did, right? And this poor lady, all she's got, she's just dropping it. It doesn't make any noise. And Jesus is like, look, she didn't have anything to start with. And so the gift that she's given is far more valuable than what all these others gave because she gave out of what she didn't have. That's sacrificial giving. That's sacrificial love. It's when we give out of our poverty. When we offer up what we don't even really have to give, but we give it up and it costs us something. I think practically what that looks like is when it comes to loving your neighbor, when it comes to those around you, that you're giving of yourself in a way that really does cost you something. And it may not, you know, to someone else, it may not cost them anything. But to you, it's a gift because you're giving everything. I think, like, from a real practical standpoint, I can't help but imagine, I mean, can't help but think, especially in our culture and here on the coast, thinking about all of you who serve our country in ways that you put yourself as literally a physical barrier between those of us who worship here on a Sunday morning and those who would seek to do us harm. There are plenty of people who have given their lives to stand in the gap. To stand in the gap, to give themselves for the sake of safety of other people, for the good of other people. And I commend you for that. I think that's sacrificial love. You drag your, you know, family all across the country, all across the world, to serve and to protect people. And we're grateful for that. Sacrificial love. You're giving yourself up for the sake of someone else. I think when it comes to, you know, the relationship of a husband and a wife. Sacrificial love is putting the toilet paper roll back on, right? That's what it's all about. In all sincerity, like, it's about being true to your vows. You made a commitment and a covenant. And so I think there's a level of sacrificial love that says, okay, even if you're not holding up your end of the deal, I'm going to hold up mine. And I'm going to keep holding it up no matter what. Sacrificial love is going to cost us along the way because at our wedding, at least at any Christian wedding I've been a part of, we're making a vow to another person, but we're also making a vow to God. And so even if he or she doesn't do well, we still have a responsibility, upwards and outwards. And then from another form, and I got to share this with you because this is what's been most formative for me. My dad, a few years ago when my grandparents got really sick, my dad, who had always had a really good job, he worked for a refinery in North Mobile County. Refined natural gas. My dad worked in the maintenance department, and he had always cared. We were never rich by any stretch, but my dad took care of us, and he and my mom were always just generous. And I mean, again, like kind of widow's mite money, you know what I mean? Like they didn't throw a ton of money out, but they gave what they had, and they were generous people. And so it taught me a lot about that. But I'll never forget when my dad told us that he was going to retire early so that he could stay with my grandparents as they died. And I thought, that's the dumbest thing you could ever do. You only got like 4 more years, and then you can retire with a full pension. And, you know, yeah, because I don't know, that's just... But for my dad, like, that wasn't love. I mean, he had already bought us all shoes and paid for, you know, like, he had cared for his kids. And his dad cared for him. And so I watched my dad leave a job that he loved, that paid him well, so that he could sit in a recliner by my grandpa, who didn't even remember my dad's name. That's sacrificial love. And you and I are called to live that, not just for our grandpas because we care for them, but if we're going to actually live like Jesus, if we're going to model our lives after Christ, whether it's no matter what relationship you have, whether it is with your boss, whether it's with your coworker, whether it's with your nosy neighbor, whether it's with your spouse who you just cannot get along with, whether it's with your former spouse, whatever it looks like, whatever that relationship is, if we're going to follow Jesus, our lives must be marked with the life of Christ. And his life was one of sacrificial love. And we don't get a pass. We don't get a pass. If you're going to love Jesus and you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to cost you. Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way." Not everybody's going to make it in. Not everybody's going to get this. Because it's hard. But I'm going to tell you what, there is a world outside of this holy huddle right here that is desperate. And I don't know how to say this with any more emphasis, that's desperate to experience that kind of love. Don't just be nice to them, love them. You and I have been loved with a sacrificial love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, before you and I committed to following Jesus, he gave up himself for us so that we might live. So that we might live with the abundance of salvation. May we be found doing nothing less for those around us. No matter what they've done for us, no matter what they've done to us, no matter what they will ever do to us or for us. May we love. And may it cost us something. And I can promise you this. If you begin to love in that way, the world will never be the same. It will never be the same because of the life that you live. Let us pray. God, you have given us the gift of salvation, and you've offered that so freely. Yet we know just because something's free doesn't mean it doesn't cost something. It cost your son his life, and it cost you your son. And so while we receive this gift and there's nothing we can do to earn it or to somehow deserve it, may we live our lives in such a way that reflects our gratitude. May our lives never be the same. May our lives never look the same. Because of the way that we've been changed by your sacrificial love. May we learn to love one another. May we learn to give ourselves away so that those who have never experienced your grace would catch a glimpse of it when they see the way that these people who call themselves followers of yours love them. May we start a revolution here in our own community of the way that we love and give ourselves up for those who are dear to you and remind us who those people are. Everyone. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.